Welcome to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Marco Meglio, editor with Neurology Live. In this episode of Mind Moments, Dr. Natalia Rost, president of the American Academy of Neurology and stroke division chief at Mass General Hospital, joins Neurology Live for a look ahead at the clinical priorities shaping neurology in 2026. In this discussion, Rost highlighted urgent unmet needs across the field, including improving equitable access to care, strengthening the neurology workforce, and advancing preventive brain health. She also outlines how the AAN's Brain Health Initiative aims to integrate prevention into everyday practice, shares perspectives on the growing role of biomarkers and digital tools, and highlights the importance of advocacy, research, and health equity in delivering better neurologic care. Let's dive in.
Thank you for having me, Marco. And it's a great honor for me to represent more than 40,000 neurologists and neuroscience professionals in the United States and in more than 140 countries around the world. So obviously, we are prospecting toward the 2026 and years to come and what's new in neurology and looking across the community and also from the AAN's global engagements. Some of the top priorities and unmet needs that are rising to the top are, number one, expanding equitable access to neurologic care. As you know, access is going to be top of the conversation for almost every aspect of neurology, from general to subspecialty. Number two is integrating preventive neurology into every clinical encounter. We're going to talk about our Brain Health Initiative, and preventive neurology is something that's very near and dear to me personally as a clinician scientist, but also for the growing commitment of the Academy to expanding brain health for all. Number three is strengthening the neurology workforce. That's going to help us increase access to neurological care, but it's also going to help us lead neurologic teams toward delivering care where it's needed. And of course, closing the persistent evidence gaps that limit our ability to deliver brain health-oriented care across the lifespan. This is something that we are just rolling out and gathering the information and evidence available to us so that we can continue to deliver neurologic care that's specific to disease, but also in a preventive domain.
Well, all things that were definitely going to be top of mind for sure in 2026. And it's been awesome to see neurology kind of transform from a diagnostic specialty to more of a therapeutic one, but obviously still some challenges and things that sorts ahead of us. You obviously mentioned the AAN's Brain Health Initiative, which I wanted to talk about. So this Brain Health Initiative sort of emphasizes brain health across the lifespan. So from a clinical perspective, what does brain health mean in practical terms for neurologists? And how do you envision this initiative influencing everyday neurologic care?
I know that the awareness about brain health has been growing over the past couple of decades right now. But it's very important that the conversation right now came to a point where everyone can use brain health as a concept to communicate with the public, our patients, their families, and just across the professional ecosystem of medical specialists, right? So we went as far at the American Academy of Neurology as actually scientifically define a concept of brain health, what it means from the concept of neurological health. And it, as a definition, it appeared in our position statement on brain health in 2023. And we said that brain health is a continuous state of attaining and maintaining the optimal neurologic function that best supports one's physical, mental, and social well-being through every stage of life. Now, that rolls off of my tongue, but I know that when you're a clinician and we're trying to integrate this concept into your everyday practice, you actually need a framework. And so the AAN Brain Health Initiative provides a practical framework for neurologic care at every life stage through this preventive concept. So how do we look at that? Technically, it's just a core idea in every neurologic encounter. which provides an opportunity not only to treat disease, but also protect and strengthen brain and other neurological and neuromuscular problem over a person's lifetime. So clinically, when we talk about brain health, we're referring to a proactive, preventive, and holistic approach in some way by the neurologist and care team for every patient that we see. And from my perspective, not only as the AAN president, but as a clinician scientist, the initiative itself influences day-to-day neurologic practice in several meaningful ways. For example, it brings prevention to the forefront by encouraging clinicians to consistently integrate strategies that support long-term neurological function. For example, we need to engage with our patients on risk factor management, no matter what kind of problem they come to see us for. Lifestyle guidance, this should become also part of our practice. And of course, that needs to be supported by the evidence-based tools that help preserve brain health. And that's what Academy is working on right now. I would also give an example how brain health as a concept in clinic strengthens the connection across physician disciplines. I talked a little bit about the House of Medicine and how we need to break silos between neurology and other subspecialties, not only within neurological domain, but across the House of Medicine. For example, we need our colleagues in primary care, in pediatrics, in geriatrics, in psychiatry, in cardiology, and many other specialties, focus on this concept of brain health, be cognizant of it, be cognizant of prevention that kind of plays across the lifespan, not only in neurological sense, and also work with neurologists as experts to lead on that implementation of preventive strategy. And so this shared framework helps us break down silos, as I said, and deliver more coordinated and patient-centered care, which is obviously what we want to see. And finally, the Brain Health Initiative at the Academy reinforces our mission to promote brain health for all and basically provides clear direction that can help shape clinical decisions, educational efforts, and communication with the public, which is where this is all going.
Yeah, well, obviously, working towards promoting brain health is going to be something that's going to be an all-encompassing, full-team effort. It's been awesome to see that neurology has become a little bit less siloed over the last couple of years. Like you mentioned, working with a lot of other specialties outside of just neurology and coming together. We've also seen a lot of great research over the last couple of years focused on prevention and being proactive with patients and their neurologic conditions, which kind of brings me to my next question. We've seen a ton of research and we've seen a ton of conversation around things like biomarkers, imaging, and digital tools. So what role do you see biomarkers, imaging, and digital tools playing in routine neurologic care over this year? And to that same point, where do you think enthusiasm may be outpacing evidence currently?
Well, I am a clinician scientist myself, so I get easily excited about what future brings and what are the next big blue sky ideas, what's in the pipeline, etc. But as we've seen it, the future of neurological care has really arrived into our clinics, and we see more and more of the integration of what seemed to be so, unreachable in the past decade. The neuroscience research has really accelerated our integration of, tools and other neurological or neuroscientific advances into clinic. And so biomarkers and advanced imaging, which is area of my research, and digital tools, including AI, already are and will continue expanding into routine care, into risk assessment, into, implementation to decrease administrative burdens, et cetera. So that's already happening. But I will say that the evidence base for many digital neurotechnology tools remains early. And, it's some way it creates this excitement, but it also creates a little bit of a noise around the advances, technological advances. I mean, whether they're, lab-based or, in silico-based, et cetera. And so, as you said, enthusiasm often exceeds some of the validated clinical impact. And we really have to make sure that we are deliberate in this space, that we have clear ethical standards and also careful integration of these tools into proven clinical frameworks to make sure that we continue to retain trust that the public and our patients and their families place in us. And so Academy has been very specific in standing up for ethical standards and careful implementation, very strong in making sure that these advances and innovations are, you know, strongly evidence-based, supported by evidence-based medicine. And as you know, our quality products and services at the Academy are very much embedded in this in the evidence-based developments. And so we're going to continue to stand by those principles. And in my mind, tools and workflows and excitements will continue to evolve. And it is our future. But we need to be ethical, we need to be transparent, and we have to be careful based on our implementation so that we continue to maintain the trust of the public and our patients.
Well, you mentioned the word implementation, which I think a lot of neurologists are certainly thinking about right now. We've got a lot of great tools, a lot of great innovation. We've got a lot of great bench research science and things of that sort. It's really just, how do we integrate these things into the systems of care, and how do we do it in the appropriate fashion so that patients are getting the most out of this and obviously getting it the most out of these things in a safe and proper fashion. So a lot of good things on the forefront for neurology for certain. Next question for you, Dr. Rost. In 2026, what priorities will guide the AAN's efforts in education, advocacy, and clinical guidance? And how do you hope those efforts will tangibly impact patient care?
Well, the AAN is always kind of ahead of the curve on a lot that's been happening in the field in, of neurology. And our 2026 priorities will focus on improving access, as we already outlined this as a major unmet need, on reducing administrative burdens, which, you know, career fulfillment and well-being of our neurologists and all of the members of neurology team is always a front and center for the Academy. On expanding the neurology workforce, we must continue to fuel the pipeline of neurology workforce, because this is the future. We know that neurological problems, with one in two Americans, as we now know, living with a neurological disorder or disease, we know that we will need neurology professionals to help us address those issues, both, you know, U.S. and global neurological disease burden. And we need to elevate the science and education behind preventive neurology and brain health guidance. And I will also say that although we don't often have time in our busy clinics to think about high science, so to speak, I want to take this moment to remind all of us that everything we know in diagnosis, treatment, recovery, and even lifelong management of clinical neurological conditions or any other medical conditions, everything we know is a result of scientific explorations and research in some point in time. So we must continue our support for neuroscience, even as we make a difference in clinic every day. And that's why the AAN also placed promoting neuroscience research right up there along our strategic goals, and we stand strong by that. And so all of these efforts aim to tangibly improve patient outcomes by streamlining care delivery, by empowering neurologists through career guidance and resources, by making sure that we meet the access needs in managing our growing burden of neurological disorders, and also ensuring that patients benefit from evidence-based strategies across the lifespan. So we have a lot of work to do in 2026 and beyond.
Well, it's been awesome to see the role that the American Academy of Neurology has played, obviously, within the clinician community and empowering clinicians to really take charge of their job and take charge of the medical field and obviously, you know, empower them with the tools to feel comfortable to treat patients. This is obviously a very much evolving field, and it's an exciting time in neurology, to say the least. Dr. Rost, one last question for you, and I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule. Obviously, we kind of touched upon this a little bit of our beginning of our conversation, but health equity continues to be a major challenge across many neurologic diseases. So what clinical gaps concern you the most, and what should neurologists focus their efforts to reduce disparities in care and outcomes?
Well, obviously, health equity continues to be a great challenge. And it will take all of us working across academia, across clinical private practice, coordinating healthcare systems, and also gathering support from our colleagues in private and also government sector to help us continue our work in battling healthcare disparities. But the most concerning gaps that I wanted to highlight relate to unequal neurological disease burden distribution. As you know, there are geographical inequities. There are also inequities that are related to urban versus rural areas, etc. And there's also inconsistent access to high quality care, both domestically and globally. And so our AAN's advocacy arm is really not such a secret weapon in helping us deliver on the health equity healthcare policies that help us close those gaps. And really, neurologists should refocus on improving access to evidence-based preventive strategies. Addressing social and structural determinants of neurologic health remains to be in our focus. Expanding education and tools for underserved communities. And I believe that our brain health initiative is going to be instrumental in expanding public education domain, particularly as it relates to underserving communities. So I'm really excited about the future of developments in this area. And of course, advancing ethical, equitable deployment of emerging technologies. As we just talked about, the inequities in availability and access to the newest biomarkers and digital tools, you know, we need to be careful and ethical in the way we allowing our patient populations as well as the public to experience access to all of what's the latest that the neuroscience and our clinical setup has to offer. So I think in general, the future is bright, but we have to fight for that future. And so health equity is going to continue remain in the center of this conversation.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. To support the show, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, for more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.